This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. As the year comes to a close, the American Center for Law and Justice is busy here at home and abroad. We'll talk about Saeed Abedini, the cases against Obamacare, the IRS targeting, and much more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The fact is that I have personally raised the issue, not only at the highest level that I have been involved with, but also through other intermediaries. So we don't have any meeting with anybody who has something to do with Iran or an approach to Iran where we don't talk to them about how we might be able to find not just Mr. Levinson, but we have two other Americans that we're deeply concerned about.
An American president who has taken his oath of office with honorable intention and is attuned to the international issues will recognize Iran's treatment of Saeed for the assault that it is on our national security. How strong is our American president? How serious is he about American security? Would he act immediately with firm resolve to protect and to defend?
Around the world today, men and women are still imprisoned for their political beliefs and are still persecuted for what they look like and how they worship and who they love. That is happening today. And so we too must act on behalf of justice.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The White House in full crisis mode as the Obamacare enrollment deadline looms. It's supposed to be the 23rd, so that you have coverage by the 1st. They may be extending that. They've got paper enrollments that weren't put in properly. They've got digital enrollments that weren't put in properly. I mean, basically, the whole thing is just not working properly. And we're at the near the close of Congress. There's a couple big issues still on the table. One of those is the Iranian sanctions issue, which has kind of gone back and forth. Will there be increased sanctions? Will there not be increased sanctions? Senator McCain over the weekend said he feels confident that there will be. Dan Bennett, our director of national government affairs, is here with us. And Dan, we have talked about this sanctions issue back and forth, especially in the United States Senate. That may not be resolved by the end of this week, by the end of this term. That could actually go into the next term.
Yeah, I think at this point, Jordan, it's fairly unlikely that it gets resolved. This is the last week that both the House and the Senate are in session. Last week, it looked like there was going to be a deal between Republicans and Democrats to pass language encouraging the Senate to pass these sanctions. That fell apart at the last minute. And listen, with just a few legislative days to go, I think Senator McCain's probably right that the Senate will move on this at some point. But I don't think it's going to happen before they leave for Christmas, Jordan. And honestly, the biggest reason for that is because Harry Reid listened to Secretary John Kerry when he came to the Hill and said, give us more time. Don't force these sanctions down our throat.
You know, folks, I mean, we got a lot to talk about as well with Pastor Saeed Abedini, the HHS mandate cases, the IRS targeting. I'll be on Fox Business later on tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time, and it replays again at 11 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're on the West Coast, you can catch back up with that. Charles Payne sitting in for Neil Cavuto. We'll be talking about breaking news again in the IRS scandal, one that doesn't go away, folks. You know, we fight all of these battles, and we're taking your phone calls today, 1-800-684-3110. As we close out the year, you know, as the next couple weeks, I'd like to ask you this. This is my question for you calling in. What scandal or what issue has gotten to you the most? What is one that is just, you know, you just can't believe we're still having to talk about, still having to fight about? Is it Saeed Abedini? Is it the IRS targeting issue? Was it the Benghazi issue? But you go back and forth. The Fast and Furious issue, which is coming back up again with Brian Terry's family, you know, 3 years later, still trying to get information. And I want you to know, with all the work that we're doing, the cases, was it Obamacare and the whole scandal with healthcare.gov and losing your insurance and not being able to get new insurance? We have all these cases around in the country. We have all the work we're doing around the world. And in this final couple of weeks of the year, we raise a lot of our support from you. It is our matching challenge where everything you donate is doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice. I encourage you today. We need your support to do this work here at home and abroad. Call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255, to make a donation, or do it online at aclj.org. You can donate online. It doesn't cost anything to make that donation except for what you want to donate. aclj.org, and your gift will be doubled. We'll be right back.
It has never been a busier time for the ACLJ than it is right now. Across the globe and here at home, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending religious freedom and protecting human rights. Whether it's our commitment to free American pastor Saeed Abedini imprisoned in Iran or battling it out in court to stop pro-abortion Obamacare, the ACLJ is standing up for you. As 2013 draws to a close, your support, your prayers are more important than ever. The work we do could not occur without you. And now, for a limited time, your gift will be double. A $25 gift becomes $50. $100 becomes $200. The ACLJ's matching challenge matches dollar for dollar every contribution made to the ACLJ. The matching challenge is ending soon, so take a moment today and support the work of the ACLJ and double your gift. Make a difference online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's also been a development inside Abedini's case, an interesting one at that. You know, after the hearing, and we played a lot of the hearing, and we've talked about the congressional hearing last week and how the Congressman Ted Deutsch, who represent Bob Levinson's family in out of Florida, the former FBI agent, we were told, that went missing in Iran on private business. And then later on, the same day we testified, and after he was so upset that we were upset with the administration, it comes out that actually Bob Levinson was working for the CIA. Not formerly, but currently was working for the CIA when he went missing, and that the Obama administration and past administrations had covered that up, basically did not want to go public with it. His family has now gone on and come out very, very, I'd say strongly for the first time, really, and said they too feel abandoned by the Obama administration, that they feel abandoned. But what we're upset about is the fact that Saeed Abedini would even be lumped in, categorized as the same kind of missing American or American held abroad. First of all, Saeed is a pastor. Robert Levinson is a CIA agent. These are different kinds of people. We know where Saeed is. Everybody does. In the whole country, in the whole world, we can point to where Saeed is. I can tell you what ward of the prison he's in right now. No one can tell you where Robert Levinson is. And if they can, these are security officials who were covering up his story. We've been very forthright. The Abedini family has not sued the State Department or received millions of dollars. The Levinson family has. They sued the government and were paid $2.5 million to stay quiet. But now they have come out and say they have felt abandoned. They feel like, you know, that they are not getting the full support of the United States government. Take a listen. This is Secretary John Kerry. I think this just highlights to you folks some of the stuff we can't always bring up on air, but sometimes the media does get to it, and so we can let them talk about it, that I don't like to get into the details of because of the work we've got to do behind the scenes for Saeed Abedini. But what I want you to hear is this exchange on ABC this week between Martha Raddatz and Secretary of State John Kerry about Bob Levinson. And we'll listen to the whole thing, and I'll tell you what I think is so unhelpful. Let's start with bite one.
And Robert Levinson, the FBI agent who was reportedly working with the CIA, but I want to tell you what his family said. They say that the U.S. government has abandoned and betrayed him and is getting lip service from the Obama administration on their efforts for his release. Has there been any real progress?
Well, there hasn't been progress in the sense that we don't have him back, but to suggest that we've abandoned him or anybody has abandoned him is simply incorrect not helpful. The fact is that I have personally raised the issue, not only at the highest level that I have been involved with, but also through other intermediaries. So we don't have any meeting with anybody who has something to do with Iran or an approach to Iran where we don't talk to them about how we might be able to find not just Mr. Levinson, but we have two other Americans that we're deeply concerned about.
Do you have
any? We're
looking
for proof of life. We're working on several processes that I'm not free to talk about, but there are a number of different channels that are being worked, and they're being worked aggressively.
Folks, this is what I don't appreciate with Secretary Kerry. I'm going to communicate this to the State Department. But we have two other Americans who are deeply concerned about. That's wonderful. We know one of those is Saeed Abedini. The other is Amir Hikmati. Do not imply that they are the same as Bob Levinson. Now, I can understand Bob Levinson's family. If they're going through anything like Nagma Abedini is, they'd be using the exact words out of our press release from 2 weeks ago, which is now what they are, abandoned and betrayed. Those are the words that we said when we found out that Saeed was not brought up at the P5+1, as well as Bob Levinson or Amir Hikmati. Now, I have, again, deep sympathy for that family, but I represent Saeed Abedini. And Saeed Abedini was not getting paid by the CIA. Okay, Saeed Abedini wasn't a missing CIA agent. He is not, his location is not unknown. They don't randomly get photos of him saying we may have him. He's not being held that way, and there's no question about whether or not there's a proof of life. We know where he is. We know what ward he's in. We know the danger he's facing, and we know why. Iran, famous for trying to hold people and convict them of being a spy, never even once tried to bring that charge against Saeed. They just said he was violating the law because of his work as a Christian. So, Secretary Kerry is now feeling the heat from the Levinson family as well for different reasons, but I do believe it's not fair to Saeed Abedini, an American citizen, to even lump him in with the same category. I mean, a missing CIA agent is taking on a far greater risk. They are getting economically paid by the U.S. government to take those risks. The family getting paid millions to be quiet about it. A very different situation. Not any sadder, not any more upsetting. It's still an American citizen. But in context, this is like joining the military versus joining a humanitarian mission and being held and knowing about that. And Than, when you put this into context of what we went through last week in Congress and some of the comments by members of Congress, I mean, they were held in the dark as well. Even Senator John Kerry was saying that they basically were not told the truth.
Yeah, and you have to wonder what Congressman Deutsch was told about his constituent, given the information that came out after the fact. I would say this quickly, Jordan. We have said repeatedly that all three of these Americans held in Iran should come home. But when we talk about Pastor Saeed, we're talking about a Christian pastor who was building an orphanage. It's not a difficult case, just like you laid out. This is not something you have to go through some of the other hurdles in the case of maybe Bob Levinson. He should come home, plain and simple. It is not a difficult thing. And I would just key in on an exchange that you had with the committee last week, Jordan, when you said, okay, you know, we asked. The United States government asked Iran to release Pastor Saeed. Great. What did Iran say? We have not been pushing the United States government, Jordan, to ask simply to ask. We have been pushing them to ask because we want an answer from Iran. We want Saeed home. That is something the committee was not able to give us because the administration, quite frankly, has not gotten an answer from Iran.
No, that's right. I mean, we have kind of pointed out, the United States and Secretary Kerry brings it up in that comment we played. They keep talking about, well, asking and asking, but does he ever mention answers? No. And that's the problem. Iran does not answer. I've got calls actually coming up with the State Department this week. And listen, I think that they're going to be playing some damage control. I think, you know, hopefully this has reignited a fire, as we always are trying to do here. We want things to be positive. We don't want an internal fight here in the U.S. We want Saeed Abedini home. We'd like these other Americans home as well. But I don't represent them. I don't know the specific details more than what I read in the press like you do. And as we found out, when you don't know all the details, sometimes you get shocked. It was pretty shocking to read if you go through this Levinson story about his deep involvement with the CIA, the fact that people were fired from the CIA because of his work there, and the fact that, again, this administration continues to put him in the same category as Saeed Abedini. It just seems wrong. I mean, it seems like that is a discussion that has to be separate. I mean, you catch someone's foreign spy agent, I don't care if it's an ally or an enemy. You don't just turn those people over, and likely they're not coming home. And there's cover-ups, and there, it's a much more scandalous. This is an American. We know about where he is. We know what he was charged with. We know what he was convicted of. We know where he's located. We know when his family's able to visit him. And we've been very open and outright about it. You know, and the same language now, the Levinson family, is this betrayal and abandon. Folks, this kind of gives you a hint, and it's just a hint, of how complicated these cases get. Now, imagine the IRS case. How complicated that one gets when you have 41 clients in 17 different states, all of these different officials involved, all of their applications, thousands of pages. And as we come to the year end, this is when we really do raise a lot of the support for the American Center for Law and Justice. And we're updating you folks. I don't want to use this broadcast all today just to ask for your support financially. But I do want to remind you throughout this show that this is such a key time for us. In fact, we have a matching challenge going on. Anything you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice is doubled. And you can do that by calling our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. You know, we need your support economically to do this work here in the United States. So I can head over to Fox News this afternoon, come back from Berlin and testify before Congress. That just doesn't just take me or my dad. We have a whole production team just behind this show. It's not just me and Than sitting here and turning on a button. We've got a whole team all over in different offices around the world. It's all because of your financial support. And so, folks, right now is this key time of the year. If you call our toll-free number, you can make a donation, and your donation will be effectively doubled. We're talking even $5 and $10 donations become $10 and $20 donations, but there's not a limit to that. You can also donate online. It's really easy as well at aclj.org. You'll see it right on the homepage, aclj.org. But if you want to make a donation now, you're in the car and you say, you know what, I'm thinking about this, or you're at work or at home and you say, I want to do it right now, here's the phone number to call. 877-989-2255. It's a toll-free number. We will get to phone calls, by the way, folks. I know some of you are hanging on the line. We'll get to those when we come back from the break. If you want to make a donation now, I encourage you to call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. It's also a great way to renew your membership with the American Center for Law and Justice. You can also go online at aclj.org or call 877-989-2255. Think about the work that we've got before the Supreme Court with the HHS mandate cases fighting Obamacare. 41 clients in our case against the IRS and IRS officials in that targeting scheme we were right in the forefront of, and I'll be talking about that tonight on Fox Business. Saeed Abedini, as we testified before Congress last week. The cases go on and on as we continue to fight for life, fight Obamacare, fight for those held abroad. Call 877-989-2255 or donate at aclj.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. It has never been a busier time for the ACLJ than it is right now. Across the globe and here at home, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending religious freedom and protecting human rights. Whether it's our commitment to free American pastor Saeed Abedini imprisoned in Iran or battling it out in court to stop pro-abortion Obamacare, the ACLJ is standing up for you. As 2013 draws to a close, your support, your prayers are more important than ever. The work we do could not occur without you. And now, for a limited time, your gift will be double. A $25 gift becomes $50, $100 becomes $200. The ACLJ's matching challenge matches dollar for dollar every contribution made to the ACLJ. The matching challenge is ending soon, so take a moment today and support the work of the ACLJ and double your gift. Make a difference online at aclj.org or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
Secular Live. I said we would take your phone calls, and we will, folks. Now 1-800-684-3110. Robert calling in from Maryland on line one. Robert, welcome to J Secular Live. You're on the air with us.
Hello. Hi, Jordan. Hi, Dan. Wanted to ask you two very quick questions. The first question is, what do we, the American people, have to do to get rid of Obamacare? And the second question is, what does the president need to do in order to get Pastor Saeed Abedini freed from Iran?
Sure. I think I'll answer Saeed's question. I'll let Than talk about what you can do on the Obamacare issue. Of course, we're fighting it in court, but there's bigger issues at stake there now as well. I'd say, what can President Obama do? He could actually speak out once. That'd be nice. President Obama, we're told, brought it up on the phone call with President Rouhani, but I've never once heard him, nor has he ever said Saeed Abedini publicly. So that would be nice, Robert. I think that would be show a sign to Iran that this was important. Proactive work. So one thing I highlighted at Congress is that everything that the administration has done has been reactive to pressure. They need to get proactive when it comes to Saeed Abedini. But, I mean, what could the president do? Tell his team to make it a priority and actually say Saeed Abedini once on television at a press conference. That would be really nice. How about reaching out to the Abedini family, especially during the holiday season? These are all ways to show that he is engaged and actually cares. Instead of having his underlings keep telling us how much he cares about it, but then we never hear from him. Now, let me toss to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, Obamacare, which is kind of falling apart as we speak on its own. We've got our legal challenges to it. That's part of the HHS mandate challenges and others. But, you know, you get this call, how do we continue to fight Obamacare? And I think it's by remaining strong against the members of Congress who are fighting back, because we've got the legal challenges, but ultimately, listen, it's Congress also fighting back, trying to hold those accountable. There will be a whole question, though, Than, of do we have to support those who say, okay, we got to fix it, or are we going to remain strong and have the backbone to let this fall apart?
Yeah, let me just quickly say two things, Jordan. Number one, you're absolutely right. How about this president not sign any more agreements with Iran, including an interim deal, without Pastor Saeed being home first? That's just number one. On the Obamacare front, you're right. There are layers to this. Our litigation is front and center in this. We will continue that, of course. A full legislative repeal, Jordan, that is going to take a new president. We might be able to work with some Democrats who would actually go along with Republicans for a full legislative repeal. It's going to take a new president. However, the next stage of our litigation, in my opinion, is the next step in this. And this has to do with the kick-in of the individual mandate. If that goes into effect and this administration tries to fine people for not having a product that they have been, they haven't given them a way to acquire it. Let's just put it nicely like that. That one-year delay of the individual mandate, I think, is the next step. And that is not going to happen without the threat of our litigation. And it is ready to go as we speak.
You know, folks, we're going to take more of your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you again, folks. We are in a matching challenge right now. This is a very important time for the American Center for Law and Justice, where we raise a large percentage of the portion of our financial funding for most of the year. If you can make a donation to us, whether by phone or online right now, your donation is doubled. We have this matching challenge where donors agree they will double whatever donation you make. So if you make a $10 donation, that becomes $20 for us at the American Center for Law and Justice. And it goes on up from there. I mean, $100 becomes $200. So it's not like there's some limit of what you can give. I know, you know, it's as the economy's bouncing back and you've got things going on for seasons, but I know many of you wait. You make those donations at the end of the year. This is the time to take advantage of it. You can make a donation online at aclj.org. You'll see it right on the homepage for the matching challenge. Or by calling our toll-free number right now, and you can make the donation via phone if you prefer that. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Again, 877-989-2255. Or make that online donation We could use your support, folks. A lot of work going on here in the United States and around the world, with offices around the world, work going on around the world. I can't even get to all of it in, you know, one radio show. You can make that donation at aclj.org very quickly online as well. Edward calling in from New Jersey online too. Edward, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, Edward, can you hear us? Looks like Edward's having some trouble with his phone. You remember, folks, always turn your radio down. A little bit of a delay, so you won't be hearing yourself directly. Let's go to Mary Ellen calling in from Illinois on line three. Mary Ellen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. I just want to say, over the years, I've donated what I can. It's not a whole lot, but living on fixed income, I'd like to do more. But I've also encouraged some of my friends to give. So I would encourage other listeners to ask their friends to give as well, especially those who are on the same page that we are on.
Well, you know, listen, I think, first, Marilyn, let me thank you for your support and the support you're able to give. And I think your example is exactly right. It's not about, I can give, as much as I'd want. It's what you can. What's financially reasonable for you, what's on your heart to give. We don't make this pitch often, folks, as you know. Mostly on the broadcast, we work on petitions, working on once, but we kind of focus in on an issue. Right now, we're talking broadly as Congress is coming to a close, as the year-end comes to a close. We don't stop working, and it doesn't get any slower for us. I mean, literally, I'm running over to Fox News right after this broadcast to be talking about the IRS. That's after this weekend, talking about Saeed Abedinian testifying before Congress, and the week before that being in Berlin. And that's just me at the American Center for Law and Justice. I mean, I'm sitting across from Than Bitter, who's been working on our government affairs issues. We've got our team, David French, working on cases, as we speak right now. We've got the Saeed Abedini team, basically. We've got our foreign offices around the world, all that need your support. Let me take one more phone call. Edward calling in from New Jersey online, too. I think he's got everything set up now. Edward, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Edward.
How are you? What you guys are doing is commendable, and I was wondering if you were aware of that we have a POW over there that's been there for 4 years.
And, I think you're talking about a member of our armed forces who has been held, and they believe in part of the Haqqani network, or the Taliban, Bowie Bergdahl, who has been held for a number of years as well. The Taliban's demanded money for him. It's been, they released a video of him being captured in 2009. Yes, there are those held abroad, members of our armed forces. They are POWs. I don't think he's in Iran, though, of course, you never know all the facts, as we've learned from Bob Levinson's revelations last week. But, of course, we want all of the Americans home. But, with Saeed Abedini, he didn't sign up for the armed forces. He didn't volunteer to serve. He's not a warrior, not a combat person, not a secret agent. His family wasn't paid hush money. There was no scandal involved, but the government and, people losing their jobs at the State Department or CIA because of his work. He was a pastor building an orphanage who got picked up by a brutal, nasty regime in a country he's from. That he felt like he wanted to still help orphans and is being held in prison. And we're going to be fighting, and we're going to fight through this holiday season. We'll fight through 2014. And I don't want to have to fight much longer, because I know that Saeed's health is always in danger. His life is always at risk. Folks, if you can support us now to continue these efforts and all the work that we do here and around the world, make a donation online. Your gift will be doubled either at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Or by calling our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or make the donation at aclj.org.
Now, for a limited time, your gift will be double. A $25 gift becomes $50. $100 becomes $200. The ACLJ's matching challenge matches dollar for dollar every contribution made to the ACLJ. The matching challenge is ending soon, so take a moment today and support the work of the ACLJ and double your gift. Make a difference online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
A long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last.
That's a good song for right now. I mean, because it's been a tough year for the United States. It's been a tough year for domestically. It's been a tough year for Saeed Abedini. Second Christmas, as of right now, it looks like that he'll be away from his family. We're always hoping for a development that changes that. We're always praying. We're working. I mean, I've got calls coming up on that. I got Fox News later today talking about the IRS issue. Than, we've got issues on Capitol Hill. Give a summary, Than, to what has Congress still got up in the air? What are they still, you know, we had the budget issue kind of move forward. There was some controversy there, but it moved forward. What are the issues holding Congress back up from actually just kind of finishing the year on out?
Two real items on the plate this week, Jordan. One is the budget deal you mentioned. It was struck by Paul Ryan and Patty Murray. Paul Ryan, of course, in the House. Patty Murray in the Senate, Democrat from Washington. There is some controversy there. The House passed it with a majority of both Republicans and Democrats supporting it. That is over in the Senate now. That's going to have to be voted on. They're waiting to wrap that up so they can leave town. The other item, as we've discussed, is the Iranian sanctions. The House passed that back in July. Additional sanctions on Iran. John McCain has still said he thinks there's a chance that the Senate could pass those before the end of 2013. I tend to disagree. I think that's probably going to push into next year. But those two items, Jordan, are really what they're waiting on to get out of here. And honestly, the budget is probably the only one that will resolve. But one way or another, I would suspect they will be finished up by Thursday.
You know, so, I mean, this will be the end of Congress. Obamacare continuing to flounder. I mean, Than, we've got these stories in the news I wanted to talk about. You got 50 to 60,000 applications. Go through these stories. I mean, this is, we haven't focused much on this today, but just to let people know.
Yeah, I mean, even the most flattering way of looking at Obamacare is extraordinarily worrisome. I mean, there are reports today that 50 to 60,000 paper Obamacare applications still have not been processed. So you don't actually know whether those people are going to have coverage come the new year or not, because they actually haven't finished that processing process. And I think even more troubling is this report that says that there were 15,000 of these applications that never actually reached their destination. So you have all this personal information put in, a plan was selected, an American thought they have coverage, they sent it off, and we don't know if it was accepted, rejected. In fact, we don't even know where it is. I heard somebody say it's like putting, you know, the application in a bottle and throwing it into the ocean, and it's just out there somewhere. So you have these 15,000 Americans that are sort of in limbo. They don't know whether they have coverage. They don't even know if someone is even reviewing their application.
All right, folks. I mean, there we have right there. Again, folks, just an update on Obamacare. And there's a lot. You know, actually, I think you'll be interested to watch tonight on Fox Business this update on the IRS scandal. Are they going back and trying to redo the targeting, trying to, again, go after those who have already faced the IRS scrutiny, who are still waiting for an answer from the IRS. Folks, I mean, this is still happening as we speak. I mean, I want you to understand that it's still happening as we speak. This targeting still ongoing. And, of course, we've got more coming up on the broadcast today. This is a key time. Let me go through again for you. It's a part of the year where we raise a lot of our support. I mean, almost the majority of our support financially for the entire year. And I know I've been pushing a lot on today's broadcast. We've been kind of doing this broad overview of the ACLJ's work over the last year and the continued work that we have coming up over this new year, as well as we close out this year. One, we never stop working and never stop fighting to get people like Saeed Abedini home before Christmas. But we're also realistic about long-term battles, long-term fights. One of those is Obamacare. Others, like the HHS mandate, part of the health care law, the IRS targeting. Did you think back in May when they admitted to this that they'd be coming back now and trying to justify it with new regulations? It's exactly what's happening. We need your support to continue to do all this work. You know, it doesn't happen with two or three people. It takes a lot of people and a lot of resources to continue this work into the new year, both here at home in the United States where we focus, and on the work abroad as well. If you want to make a donation to the American Center for Law and Justice right now, your donation will be doubled. So if you give $10, it becomes $20. $50 becomes $100. It's a matching challenge. You can make the donation online right now at aclj.org or by calling your phone, picking up your phone now and calling this number. It's toll-free, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org. We'll be right back.
It has never been a busier time for the ACLJ than it is right now. Across the globe and here at home, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending religious freedom and protecting human rights. Whether it's our commitment to free American pastor Saeed Abedini imprisoned in Iran or battling it out in court to stop pro-abortion Obamacare, the ACLJ is standing up for you. As 2013 draws to a close, your support, your prayers are more important than ever. The work we do could not occur without you. And now, for a limited time, your gift will be double. A $25 gift becomes $50. $100 becomes $200. The ACLJ's matching challenge matches dollar for dollar every contribution made to the ACLJ. The matching challenge is ending soon, so take a moment today and support the work of the ACLJ and double your gift. Make a difference online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulo Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, I know all of you were paying attention last week as Nagme and Jordan went before the House Foreign Affairs Committee to tell Pastor Saeed's story and to again ask the United States Congress to take the lead in advocating for Pastor Saeed on behalf of the United States government. You know, this is really something that is the State Department's job, it is the administration's job, and we have worked tirelessly to get them to take the lead on it. But it really has been the United States Congress, both Republican and Democrat, that have taken the lead in the international community in advocating for Pastor Saeed. So last week was just another opportunity for Nagme to go before Congress and to tell the story of her family, and for Jordan to be there at her side telling the legal side of the story, the legal advocacy that had been done in both the international community, in the Iranian court, and here domestically on behalf of Pastor Saeed, and to again ask Chairman Smith, Chairman Ross Layton, and the rest of the committee to continue to engage on behalf of Pastor Saeed. Nagme, while she was in town, also did a great deal of media surrounding the hearing. One of those interviews was on Newsmax. I wanted you to have a chance to hear that interview, so let's go ahead and roll that now.
And welcome to the Steve Malzberg Show, ladies and gentlemen. It's Thursday, and we're starting the show with an issue that is of such utter importance, and we've talked about it before. We've talked about it with Negma Abedini before, and she rejoins us. She is the wife of Pastor Saeed Abedini, who is being held in an Iranian prison, and she is just fresh off her testimony today before the House Foreign Relations Committee in an effort to get her husband released and to try to get the president involved. And Nagma, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, tell us some of what you told the committee today.
That unfortunately, when we had the chance, when we were sitting across from the Iranian government, we had the most leverage we have ever had, and we, as a precondition to negotiations about on the nuclear, we could have easily asked for Saeed and the two other Americans release, and we missed that opportunity, and that has been a hard blow to our family. It has felt that the government has abandoned my husband and me and the kids, and that I had hoped that going, moving forward with this, that our government would put this in the center stage and would not marginalize it and discuss it in the margins, but that this would become an important issue to discuss while shaking hands with the government that holds my husband hostage.
Well, absolutely. And let me bring you up to date on some breaking news that we have as we take to the air today. And that is that the very powerful House Democratic whip in the U.S. Congress in the House of Representatives, Steny Hoyer, has withdrawn his support for a resolution. The House is going to vote on a resolution for additional sanctions against Iran, and also the resolution calling for unfettered access to inspect all the sites, all the scientists in Iran, and most importantly, perhaps, it called on Iran to release U.S. citizens, quote, held unjustly in Iran, end quote. Obviously, your husband involved in that line of the resolution. What's your take, what's your feelings now that Steny Hoyer, the one of the top, probably the number two top Democrat under Nancy Pelosi, has withdrawn his support at the request of the administration?
I'm very disappointed that this issue should cross political barriers, and I would expect my government, including the Democrats, which also represent my government, would not abandon their citizens at the time that at a crucial time. And it's heartbreaking. I know there's other issues that I'm not an expert to speak on, but it's heartbreaking that it's becoming a bipartisan, it's becoming a political issue that we are not seeing support from both from the Democrats as well, because I believe this should be a uniting factor that Democrats would want to also for the welfare of the country want to support this resolution and sanctions and so on, and also the release of these American citizens held hostage by the Iranian government.
We're talking to Nagma Abedini. She is the wife of Pastor Saeed Abedini here on the Steve Malzberg Show. This is all about a blatant repression of freedom of religion, which we know exists in Iran. I mean, your husband is in jail because of his religion, because he is a Christian, correct?
Exactly. And he hasn't broken, according to Iran's own admission, he hasn't broken any law. So Iran's actually holding him illegally for 444 days. And, silence from our government is actually approval. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil, it's evil itself. So silence, knowing that an American citizen is being held simply because of his Christian faith, he has not broken any of the Iranian law, is just not acceptable. And I think as the American people, it's something we should be very passionate about, because we would expect our government to protect our fundamental rights when it's being infringed on by other individuals or countries. And this is just heartbreaking that it's not a priority to our government.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is to a Christian president who, such a big deal was made about the fact that he spent all that time in Reverend Wright's church and he's a Christian and blah, blah, blah. I mean, even if he weren't, I mean, I'm Jewish and I am just disgusted by this. Why do you think it is that the president and the State Department did not sit across from the Iranians and say, okay, we'll sign this, but you let our people, you let our three prisoners, or you let the pastor specifically go before we sign it? Why is it, do you think, that he shook hands with the Cuban president at the funeral the other day, when we have a prisoner who's been there, been held there for 4 years without any help in getting him out? What's going on here, do you think?
I spoke in front of the committee saying, I have no agenda. I'm a wife and a mother, and my agenda is not to bash any administration or any government, but I seriously do not get it. It does not make sense that we've allowed this. We've shaken hands with a government that's holding my husband hostage and two other Americans, and by us not being very vocal about human rights issues and this issue, we're sending a strong message, I believe, to Iran and the Middle East in terms of where we stand and issues that we do not care about. The world's watching. The world's watching and testing our government, our president, to see where we stand and how much we will protect our citizens. And You know, I don't, it's, we're sending a very dangerous message. I don't understand. I honestly do not understand why it would have been a simple ask as a precondition, and we missed that opportunity.
Yep, you would have thought that. Nagma, let me ask you about your children. First of all, when's the last time they or you had any contact with your husband? Are you allowed to talk to him at all?
Well, last time actually we physically saw him was when we dropped him at the airport in June 22nd of 2012. The last time the government allowed, and I believe the kids weren't on the phone at that time. It was just me and my husband. The last time the government allowed a four-minute phone call was in January of this year. And so it's been, you know, 444 days that he's in prison, but it's been over 700 days that we haven't seen him. It's been almost a year the Iranian government has allowed no phone calls.
The kids are so young. What do you tell them, and what do they know?
You know, they cope with it by watching, which is painful for me. They cope with it by looking through their albums when Daddy was holding them, and they watch home videos. And for them, that's part of Daddy. And it's painful for me to watch that they're trying so hard to hold on to every voice, anything they have of Daddy. And their old toys that they used to play with when, Saeed was home. And so they're trying so hard to hold on to something, and it's so painful for them.
Well, listen.
I don't know what to tell them.
No. Look, keep the faith. And again, I urge everybody to call their congressman, call their senator, call the White House, and urge them to get Pastor Saeed Abedini and, of course, the others as well, released from Iran. And it's just a terrible situation. Look, keep the faith. I know you're strong, and I know he'd be very proud of you. And one day when he's out and he sees all that you've done, he will not be surprised, but he will be proud. And I thank you very much for coming on, and keep us informed.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Nagma Abedini, ladies and gentlemen, testified today before the House about her husband, and expressing dismay and disappointment that the number two House Democratic leader has withdrawn his support for a resolution toughening the sanctions on Iran and calling for the release of her husband and the others. Very, very disturbing news.
Again, folks, that was Nagma Abedini on Newsmax telling the story of Pastor Saeed. Listen, as we go to a break, we need your partnership. As we advocate for Pastor Saeed and do all of our other work at ACLJ, we are in a year-end matching challenge. Any gift that you make will be doubled. $20 becomes $40. $100 becomes $200. To make a contribution, call now, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. It has never been a busier time for the ACLJ than it is right now. Across the globe and here at home, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending religious freedom and protecting human rights. Whether it's our commitment to free American Pastor Saeed Abedini imprisoned in Iran or battling it out in court to stop pro-abortion Obamacare, the ACLJ is standing up for you. As 2013 draws to a close, your support, your prayers are more important than ever. The work we do could not occur without you. And now, for a limited time, your gift will be double. A $25 gift becomes $50. $100 becomes $200. The ACLJ's matching challenge matches dollar for dollar every contribution made to the ACLJ. The matching challenge is ending soon, so take a moment today and support the work of the ACLJ and double your gift. Make a difference online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Listen, in just a moment, I am going to play for you an interview that Nagme and Jordan did on Fox last Friday, the day after they went before the United States Congress to testify. This is with Bill Hemmer and Martha McCollum. Listen, one of the things that I thought was the most touching about last week's hearing was the fact that Nagme chose to end her statement with a reference back to the Christmas story. The fact that Pastor Saeed, her husband, is in prison because he believes the very simple truth that unto us a son was born, a savior to all the world. It was touching to have Nagme not only, you know, bring the story back to the Christmas story, but do it in a public setting in a country that honors the religious freedom like the United States of America does. Obviously, the Iranian regime has her husband in prison because he believes that Christmas story, and it was touching to me that Nagme would close her remarks by pointing the committee back to the ultimate truth. I was glad that she chose to do so. Listen, I want to play this interview for you. Again, this is the day following the hearing. It is both Jordan and Nagme on Fox News with Bill Hemmer and Martha McCollum. Let's take a listen.
All right. She says the White House has forgotten her husband, Nagme Abedini, the wife of Saeed, the American pastor locked away in one of the more notorious prisons in Iran for more than a year. Mrs. Abedini delivering an emotional appeal before Congress and blasting the administration for not doing enough to free her husband. She says it should have been a precondition for any deal before they cut a deal with Iran and its nuclear program.
I had anticipated that I would battle the Iranian government for my husband's freedom. I never anticipated that I would also have to battle my own government, and that the journey would become even much more difficult than it had been. My husband is suffering because he's a Christian. He's suffering because he's an American. Yet his own government did not fight for him when his captors were across the table from them.
Well, Nagme Abedini is with us live now, along with Jordan Sekulow, Executive Director of the American Center for Law and Justice, representing the Abedini family. Good morning to both of you. And Nagme, it's good to see you again. Do you think you got anywhere yesterday with your testimony?
You know, I got to share again about my husband. I did see a lot of support from the congressmen and the congresswoman that were there. And I'm pursuing every effort I can. But I was very hopeful. It was very hopeful to be able to get the word out.
Do you think this administration has your back?
No, I don't think this is a priority. I think he was abandoned. Our family was abandoned, and it really sends a dangerous message on where we stand with religious liberty issues and human rights issues.
Do you think you were misled?
You know, I was really hoping that it was such an important issue. I was hoping that it was going to be a precondition. Mm. So I was devastated when I heard that it wasn't.
I apologize for the interruption, but I just want to try and get a better picture of this. So in the negotiations, it's now been reported, started back in the month of March. Your husband was in a jail back then. He still is today. Can you say that there were no negotiations brought up at that table with your husband?
Yes, we heard that there was on the margins, which we don't know what even that means, or if even that's true, according to what Secretary of State John Kerry said. So we know there was no discussion at the table, and I had assumed that there would be some precondition for the release of my husband.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that was the case?
You know, I don't know. I don't understand it. I shared at the Congress yesterday, I don't have an agenda. I'm an American citizen. I'm a wife. I'm a mother who's trying to get her husband out. And it doesn't make sense what my government is doing. I grew up naive, thinking my government will stand up for me and my religious freedom and when I need it most, and I feel abandoned. And I don't understand it. I don't know the politics behind it. I don't understand any of it.
Jordan, I want to bring you into this conversation now.
Sure.
Do you feel the hearing yesterday helped move the ball forward at all?
I do, and here's why, Bill. That question you asked Nagme should be very easy to answer. Was he brought up at the negotiations? And the reason why we don't know is because we've had people like the deputy national security advisor to the president under Susan Rice, Tony Blinken, say it was not on the agenda. We've had Ben Rhodes, the spokesperson for the White House National Security Council, say it was discussed on the margins. And then 2 days before we testified in the same room, Secretary Kerry, the Secretary of State, so everyone's boss when it comes to these negotiations, said that it was absolutely not discussed at the P5+1 talk. So we've heard three different ways it may or may not have come up. But if we assume Secretary Kerry was being straightforward and honest with the committee, and he was quick to say no, then we have to assume the worst, that this is not even being brought up on the margins.
If that's the case, he's not a priority.
That's right.
Why would that be?
I believe that there's politics at play here. I believe, Bill, there's issues involving his religious conversion at play here. Since the beginning, we have said that because he is a convert from Islam to Christianity, and this administration's priority has been trying to rush to a nuclear agreement with Iran and has, again, betrayed Americans. And it's not just Saeed, but I would say, as we, people are starting to find out more about some of the other Americans who have been held prisoner, that things are changing rapidly as this every day, as this story, as we fight on.
As you mentioned, that there's a report that an American has been connected to the CIA and he's been held there for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah,
what do you
Robert
think of that,
Levin,
Jordan?
You know, Robert Levinson is always lumped in with Saeed Abedini and Amir Hekmati. Now, Saeed and Amir are both in prisons. We know Amir is at Evin Prison, where Saeed used to be, and Saeed was transferred to Rajashahr last month. Robert Levinson was a former FBI agent who went missing 7 years ago, and occasionally there's been photos. The U.S. government has said all along, in fact, I was chastised by a Democrat member of Congress yesterday at the hearing, Bill, because he said, you know what, you need to understand, Mr. Secretary, that the administration is doing everything they can. And I wonder if he was a little bit surprised when he found out, because that's his constituent, that in fact the government had paid that family millions of dollars to stay quiet about his CIA involvement. I think it's just so wrong for our government to even be lumping Saeed in that category. Because if Robert Levinson truly was CIA, Saeed Abedini should not be even in the same discussions.
Just in the limited time we have left, Nagma, what is your next play? What card you throw down next?
I'm hoping and praying that as American people, we continue to raise our voice. I will continue to fight. It's been a hard battle of not seeing my kids for 400 some days and traveling. But I hope that we can bring him home. Whatever avenue, whatever doors that are open, I will step into it. And until I bring my kid's daddy home, I'm still hoping for Christmas. But I will not give up that hope, and I will not stop fighting for his release.
Nagma, thank you. Jordan, thanks to you as well. We will continue to follow your story and hopefully get him home soon. Thanks to both of you.
All right. Thank you.
So let's hope for Christmas, and you can't blame her. And let's hope maybe there's a miracle will happen and that family will be reconnected for the holidays.
So again, folks, that was Jordan and Nagme on Fox News the day after the hearing. Of course, we will be working all this week to follow up with Congress as well as the administration and sort of the fallout or the aftermath of the hearing to make sure that the advocacy on behalf of Pastor Saeed is everything that it should be. We also will, of course, continue our work on Obamacare, the HHS mandate, the IRS scandal, all of the other matters that you're so familiar with, and it's why we need your support as we do our year-end fundraising. Folks, we're in that matching challenge where any gift that you give will be doubled. It's our most important time of the year to do all of the work that we do at the ACLJ throughout the year. If you want to be a partner with us, the easiest way to do that is to go to aclj.org and make a tax-deductible gift. You can also do it at 877-989-2255. But as we close the broadcast, go to aclj.org and partner with us.
See a stream of your face.
Now, for a limited time, your gift will be doubled. A $25 gift becomes $50, $100 becomes $200. The ACLJ's matching challenge matches dollar for dollar every contribution made to the ACLJ. The matching challenge is ending soon, so take a moment today and support the work of the ACLJ and double your gift. Make a difference online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.